Easter Sunday 1964, a new sound could be heard on the airwaves throughout Britain, the sound of Radio Caroline, broadcasting continuous pop music from a converted ferryboat fitted out as a radio ship and anchored off the Essex coast. Radio Caroline was not only Britain's first commercial radio station, but also the first radio ship to anchor off her coasts. The MV Caroline, with her huge 186-foot-high aerial mast, started a radio boom in Britain, a boom which was to last 3.5 years, an exciting, stimulating, and unique era in the history of British broadcasting. The story of this era is a remarkable one. It is a story of triumph over almost insurmountable odds, the assaults of waves, winds, technical problems, and even gangsters, and, at the end of the day, the assault of that most powerful adversary of all, the government. In Britain, as in Europe as a whole, the story of the development of radio broadcasting is one of rigid government control, of monopoly, and of state interference. In this situation, the offshore broadcasters have been looked upon by the governments of Europe as pirates and branded as such. Yet their activities are, and always have been, under international law, quite legal. The first European countries whose state monopoly of radio was challenged were Denmark and Sweden. As long ago as 1958, Radio Merkur began transmissions to Denmark and was followed by a Swedish station called Radio Nord. In 1962, Radio Sud commenced transmissions from off the Swedish coast.
Die Lytter til Radio Merkur.
Lyssnat till Radio Syd, Sveriges kommersiella radio. Vi gör nu ett uppehåll i våra sändningar. Tackar er som lyssnat. Önskar er en riktig god natt. Och hälsar er alla hjärtligt välkomna tillbaks klockan 6.
In 1960, a new offshore station, to be known as Radio Veronica, anchored off the Dutch coast. For several months, it broadcast in English as well as Dutch.
This is really a test transmission for CNBC Radio at 192 meters, medium wave.
This is CNBC, the commercial neutral broadcasting company, broadcasting on 192 meters, medium wave band. Our transmitter power is to be increased in the near future, and our coverage will, in consequence, be extended. Advertisers in East Anglia are cordially invited to write to CNBC's advertising representative in order to obtain further details. The address is Ross Radio Productions Limited, 23 Upper Wimpole Street, London, West 1.
Let's go, go, go!
Mochten ze u vragen, u luistert toch ook naar Veronica?
Go, go, go!
Radio Veronica, however, became so popular in Holland that English transmissions were ceased in favour of the Dutch language service. Belgium at this time also acquired an offshore broadcasting station on board a ship made of concrete and called the Eulenspiegel, which was anchored off Antwerp. Radio Eulenspiegel, though, met a fate which threatened all shipborne broadcasters when, in 1962, in heavy seas, it ran aground on the Belgian coast and became a total loss.
Dit is Radio Antwerpen van op het schip Eulenspiegel op de Noordzee, de zender waar u naar luistert.
The governments of Denmark and Sweden in 1962 decided to act against what they regarded as the threat of the pirates. A Pirate Radio Act came into force on August the 1st, 1962. The time is approaching midnight on board Radio Mirko, July 31st, 1962.
Nevertheless, it has given the Danish people many thousands of hours of listening pleasure during these 4 years. And if nothing else, it has given them a choice. Now, all this must stop. That is, according to a new law, Radio Mirko will not be allowed to employ Danish citizens in any capacity. Nor will Danish firms be permitted to participate in the role of sponsor. And that means that should Mercur continue, it will be in the hands of foreign interests. I would like to take this opportunity to say it has been a distinct pleasure these past few months to be associated with Radio Mercur. I would like to thank the management of the station for their confidence in me, not to forget, of course, our devoted sponsors, without whose help this program, Copenhagen Today, would not have been possible. I would like also to express my gratitude to the engineer who was assigned to this show, Bjarne Jorgensen, and who has proved to be a tremendous help to me in the planning and execution of these programs. And a great big thanks to everyone else here at Radio Mercur who has contributed in some small way to make this program a success. And the biggest thank you of all goes to you, our listeners, without whose support we could not have existed as long as we have. And now, friends, this is your producer and host for Copenhagen Today, Hal Lawrence, saying, I've enjoyed being your man about town this summer, hoping we'll see each other very soon, and bidding one and all goodbye till we meet again.
Radio Nord and Radio Sud were also forced to close down by the Swedish government. On September 1st, 1964, a new radio and television station began broadcast from a platform sunk into the seabed off the Dutch coast. The first transmission from Radio Noordzee on the Rem Island.
Hallo Radio Noordzee, hallo Radio Noordzee, hallo Radio Noordzee, hallo Radio Noordzee, hallo Radio Noordzee.
Luisteraars in Nederland, dit is de stem van het Rem-eiland die u bereikt vanaf de Vrije Noordzee. Dit is uw Radio Noordzee.
The Scandinavian offshore stations have been both popular with their listeners and financially successful. This had not gone without notice, and two groups in Britain set about preparations for stations off the British coast. First on the air was Radio Caroline, and a month later the radio ship Mi Amigo, the former Radio Nord vessel, anchored a few miles from the MV Caroline and broadcasters Radio Atlanta.
Radio Atlanta was running a regularly scheduled test format.
This is not the official format of Radio Atlanta.
The music heard today was a test format for Radio Atlanta.
Radio Atlanta has been testing.
In June, the two organizations merged, and the MV Caroline set sail for the Irish Sea and her new position off the Isle of Man, broadcasting as she went.
And then I want to send a special greeting to all sailors of all nationalities sailing on the high seas. Well, from Radio Caroline, good luck and good sailing. Well, that's true. And now to the point, we are passing, at 9:30, we are passing 6 miles south of Hastings. 6:30, six miles south of Hastings. I'm a little bit nervous, you know. That's the first time I'm on the
You think very well indeed, Captain. It's marvelous. 9:30.
Well, then we get the Royal Sovereign. The Royal Sovereign at 10 hours. At 10 hours, the Royal Sovereign. And Beachy Head, people on Beachy Head, you can see your stars at 10:30 in the morning. When you see a high mast, 180 feet long, there will be Radio Caroline passing you.
In December 1964, an even larger and better equipped radio station appeared off the south coast of England, from the United States. Radio London, or Big L as it became known, brought with it the smooth, polished professionalism of American commercial radio, adapted for the British market.
This is wonderful Radio London.
Successful sound of wonderful Radio London.
Have you ever been?
Have you ever been?
Where I'm needless to say, you're okay with wonderful Radio London.
Not all the early pirates were as professional as London or Caroline. A number of organizations set up small, low-powered and very amateur stations on board the old World War II anti-aircraft forts which are to be found in the Thames estuary. On the Shivering Sands fort, pop singer Screaming Lord Such set up Radio Such, and on Red Sands fort, a few miles away, there was Radio Invicta, and later Radio Essex and Britain's Better Music Station established themselves on a fort off South End. Initially, their transmissions were irregular and of very poor quality.
Good morning to you all, and a very, very, very good morning to you from Nick Turvey here at Radio Satch. You are tuned to Radio Satch on 197 metres, medium wave, and a very good morning to you.
You're in tune with your good music station, Radio Invicta, broadcasting on 306.1 meters in the medium wave band, where the time is 11 a.m. And 11 a.m. means, of course, it's time for Strictly for Highbrows.
You're listening to the voice of Essex. That's Radio Essex, transmitting on 222 meters, Britain's first and only local commercial radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day with the fullest possible variety of music.
To midnight, and I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our transmissions for today. Early close down tonight to facilitate engineering work. Don't forget though to join Tony Mandel at 6 o'clock on the weekend special program. BBMS broadcasts 24 hours a day from the Fort Knock John, 22 miles from Southend in the North Sea. So on behalf of the management and the staff of BBMS 222, Britain's better music station, this is Richard Palm wishing you all, wherever you may be, a very good night, good morning, and bye-bye.
In late 1965 and early 1966, the real offshore boom came. Sweet music, in contrast to pop, came, for example, from the transmitters of Radio 390 in the Thames Estuary.
390 time is now just after 6 o'clock. Radio 390, presenting Eve, the woman's magazine of the air, takes you stateside.
On January the 1st, 1966, Radio Scotland began transmissions from a converted lightship called the Comet, anchored off the Scottish coast. In June, Radio 270 dropped anchor off Scarborough and began broadcasting to the northeast of England from the converted Dutch lugger Ocean 7. That same month, an American operation with massive financial backing took the air from a converted American Liberty ship, the Laissez-Faire. From this ship, two stations broadcast: pop from Radio England and sweet music from Britain Radio.
Step up to a new level of musical velvet. Smooth sounds of the smart set, hallmark of quality, Britain Radio. Hallmark of quality, Britain Radio.
Radio Scotland calling you, and about the Radio Scotland station dead on 242.
Don't you miss your favorite program, doesn't matter where you are, in the home or in the factory, Radio Scotland's never far.
One for you and Radio Scotland calling you, and about the Radio Scotland station dead on 242.
You're tuned right now to 242, baby. That's Radio Scotland swinging for you. Behind the microphone here, Roger Gale. That was Miss Fun Tullabass with the number 11 sound from this week's Melody Maker Top 50, which is the top 50 that we use right here on Radio Scotland, where the time now is 30 minutes after 11 o'clock on a Sunday.
It was wonderful. Did you play it for me?
No, baby, I didn't. I played it for me. Now, before we go any further, have you all heard about the Radio Scotland clan? We have our own clan right here on Radio Scotland. It's the 242 clan. If you'd like to join, it's a 5-bob postal order to the Radio Scotland clan, 38 Bar Street in Glasgow.
That's it. I was Kaiser Bill's Batman from Whistling Jack Smith, number 4 in the 270 Fun 40 this particular week.
Weather break, go, go!
And the latest news we have for you from the weather desk is that strong northerly winds are blowing over most of the country, but are moderating slowly, whatever that means. Tonight in eastern England and southeast Scotland will be mostly cloudy with some rain at times, especially over the east coast and snow over high ground. Tomorrow's outlook, rather cold and cloudy with more rain on the east coast. Whether or not to play a record, in fact. 270 Riser from the Gas. Dream Baby. Now, welcome back to the Brendan Power Show.
Ten offshore radio stations were now broadcasting into Britain from around her coasts, and still more were planned. Stormy times were ahead, however, for the radio ships. The British government became increasingly concerned by the growth in the number of radio stations off her coasts, and the threat of action against them grew almost daily by mid-year 1966. The government alleged that the pirates stole wavelengths and interfered with shipping. Legislation was only a matter of time, and dramatic events in June 1966, centered around the radio station Radio City in the Thames estuary, precipitated it.
The very, very popular Diane Ferraz and Nicky Scott there with this week's number 27 sound on City, and that is called Shaboom, Shaboom. Radio City time, 12 and a half before 4 o'clock. Yippee! Mike Side, Ian McRae. With the hits of the day. In Monstrous Macca's music show.
Radio City, it sounds fine on 299.
Members of the British Houses of Parliament were shocked by events on and around the radio station. Radio Caroline Newsbeat of June 22nd, 1966 tells the story.
Radio Caroline Newsbeat, fast and factual.
37-year-old Reg Calvert, manager of many pop beat groups, including The Fortunes, and owner of the offshore radio station Radio City, was shot dead in a country mansion near Saffron Walden, Essex, early this morning. A man is reported to be helping the Essex police in their inquiries into the shooting. A shroud of mystery has surrounded the activities of Mr. Calvert during the past 2 weeks, with conflicting reports being issued as to the future of his station. Last Monday, the radio chief asked detectives from Scotland Yard to investigate an alleged boarding of his radio station by unnamed people.
Reg Calvert, owner of Radio City, had been shot dead by the leader of a rival pirate group. Radio London and Radio Caroline, and the rivalry between them, were also involved in events around the station, which was boarded and occupied. These events became headline news. Alarm grew markedly in government circles, and the following month, the Postmaster General announced the introduction of the Marine Offences Bill, which would make it an offence for a British citizen to be connected in any way with the offshore broadcasters. By spring 1967, the pirates were in their death throes. The fort-based stations had been successfully prosecuted, declared to be in territorial waters, and closed down. The shipborne stations, with the exception of Radio Caroline, announced they would close. Radio 355, formerly Britain Radio, put it this way.
Regrettably, we have to announce the closure of Radio 355 owing to the effects of the British government's Marine Offences Bill, which becomes law in mid-August. Radio 355 will cease broadcasting at 12 o'clock midnight this coming Saturday, August the 5th. Needless to say, all of us connected with 355 are very sad at the impending closure of the station. However, we do hope that you will enjoy the remaining programs coming your way on Radio 355.
Radio London closed down at 3 p.m. on August 14, 1967, just a few hours before the Marine Offences Bill became law.
Some mention has been made of the fact that mine was the first voice to be heard on Radio London. It will also be the last in regrettably few minutes from now. But before that, please allow me to introduce the managing director of Radio London, Mr. Philip Birch.
During the past 3 years, I feel that Radio London has done very little harm, but an awful lot of good. During those 3 years, it's helped organizations such as the Institute for the Blind, Oxfam, the Cancer Fund, the Lifeboat Service, to raise funds for their very worthwhile causes. It saved the life of an airman who bailed out of the, over the North Sea and was picked up by Radio London's tender. In closing, I would like to give my personal thanks to all of the staff at 17 Curzon Street, to all of the DJs, to Captain Bunninger and his crew, to the 1,027 advertisers who have supported Radio London in the last 3 years and used Radio London to help sell their products. But most of all, I'd like to thank you, one of the 12 million listeners in the UK and the 4 million listeners in Holland, France, Belgium, Germany, and the other countries on the continent, for all of the support that you have given Radio London during the last 3 years. Big L time is 3 o'clock and Radio London is now closing down.
At midnight on the same day as Radio London, Radio 270 closed down.
I also have a telegram. As you probably know, our managing director, Mr. Wolf Proudfoot, is in Spain right now. And unfortunately, he couldn't be here with us at the very, very end. But I received this telegram from him about 2 days ago. And it reads very, very short, very, very sweetly. It says, to all Radio 270 listeners and staff, we will return. Signed, Wolf Proudfoot, Barcelona. So there you go. Oh dear, it's getting so near the time, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And lastly, but by no means least, as they've already been mentioned in Mr. Dale's letter, but I feel I must mention them again, somebody else has really made this possible, or made the 15 months of 270 possible, all the advertisers, of course. All the national and, of course, all the local advertisers, which are just as important. And I hope we've done you some kind of a service out there. And thank you very, very much for your loyalty and for your support. We really do appreciate it. And that just about winds it up. As I said, I think I've thanked everybody for everything. And, well, that's it. I'm getting a bit, oh, boy, I think I'm cracking up or something. 5 minutes now. That gives us 4 minutes left, so I've got time to play one more item. Exactly 60 seconds left, so I haven't said my goodbyes yet. Well, you already know my sentiments. I'm going to miss you one hell of a lot, and for me, Rusty, I hope maybe someday soon, in the not too distant future, we'll meet on the air again very, very soon. This is Radio 270, broadcasting on 1115 kilocycles in the medium wave band. The time is 1.5 minutes before midnight, and we're now closing down. On behalf of the 270 men, the radio technicians, the captain and the crew, and everybody on shore concerned with Radio 270, this is Rusty Allen wishing you God bless and Godspeed. Good night and goodbye. Radio 270 is now closing down.
Radio Caroline, however, continued defiantly.
This is Caroline South on 259 meters in the medium wave band, the continuing sound of free radio, now the one and only, and your future in commercial radio.
Radio Caroline International, the home of the British
Music Explosion.
Caroline became the voice of free radio and stood alone against the British government. Disc jockey Johnny Walker of Caroline.
This is a story of man's fight for freedom. The beginning is in the past, the middle is now, the end is in the future. It is a story of sadness and of triumph. August the 14th, as disc jockeys Robbie Dale, Johnny Walker and Ross Brown leave Liverpool Street, London, spurred on toward the sea by the hundreds of cheering people. See them now as they stand on the tender. There are tears in their eyes as their families, their homes, and their loved ones are left behind. 3 o'clock on this Monday afternoon, and on 266, Big Lil is heard for the last time. Caroline is alone. These three men prepare for midnight. For in a few hours' time, they are to challenge the might and the power of the British government. They will become criminals. Midnight approaches. It is August the 15th. Johnny Walker announces that Caroline belongs to you, that she loves you and she will continue. The Beatles sing All You Need Is Love. These two men sound happy, but underneath they are sad, for they now know that they have passed the point of no return. They are not sad for long. They are joined by other men who also gave up so much to fight for freedom. The seas are rough and cruel. Life is hard. But as each day passes, the moment of triumph grows nearer. The British people rally round. They send food. They send comfort. And they send their love. All you need is love. And love overcomes. The British government relents. Caroline raises her anchor and heads for England. See her now majestically and proudly sailing up the river toward the capital that has welcomed so many victors in British history. But none as victorious as these men. They stand on the deck waving to the millions of people who line the Thames. This time the tears flooding from their eyes are tears of happiness. The insurmountable odds have been surmounted. They reunite with their families, with their friends, with their loved ones. We are near the end of our story. London skyline has a new landmark pointed toward the heavens. Caroline's aerial. At last, beaming out its love and music to a free and peaceful nation. We have overcome. The battle is over. Free radio becomes a way of life, but never taken for granted. For no man will ever forget Monday, August the 14th, 1967.
But even Radio Caroline died. On the morning of March the 3rd, 1968, shortly after 6 a.m., in a carefully planned operation, both Caroline ships were towed from their positions by tugs owned by the Dutch Weismuller tug and salvage firm. An ironic end indeed for the so-called pirates, ended by real piracy. Only two offshore radio stations remained in the whole world, Radio Veronica off the Dutch coast, and on the other side of the world, Radio Horaki off New Zealand. Horaki had had its problems as well. Its first vessel, Thierry 1, had gone aground in heavy seas and become a total loss in January 1968. Its listeners heard of its plight live in the Thierry 1's last dramatic broadcast.
We're endeavouring to anchor on the rock, and we're going to send up a flare. Anyone observes this flare, or anyone who knows anyone who's in the area, would they please advise them? Would anyone also listening please advise Auckland Radio at Music Point by telephone of our place and tell them that we... And this is the MV Thierry. We're on the rocks on the Wanapara side of Great Barrier Island. We're endeavouring to anchor on the rocks and we're going to send up a flare. Anyone observes this flare or anyone who knows anyone who's in the area, would they please advise them?
We're going back under the rocks now. I repeat that. We're receiving on frequency 2182. Receiving on frequency 2182. We have gone aground near the entrance to the Wangapara Harbour. The Wangapara Harbour on Great Barrier Island. We have gone aground on the entrance to the Wangapara Harbour on Great Barrier Island. We're hitting continuously now. I don't know how long I can stay with you. There we've gone again. That was rather bad, actually. We've gone aground on Wangapara. There, abandoned ship, abandoned ship. I'm turning the microphone up loud. Abandoned ship, abandoned ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship. The rocks are within swimming distance. I've got to go now. I've turned the microphone up loud. I hope the transmitter holds out. We are abandoning ship. Our position is in the Wonga Power Harbour. I love your mum and dad.
In January 1970, Radio North Sea International commenced transmissions from off the Dutch coast. On August 29th of the same year, it was involved in an incident no less dramatic than that involving Radio Heraki.
Okay, we'll continue on with some pop music so they know that this is Radio North Sea International. Radio North Sea International, by the way, right now is under attack from a tug called the Husky from Willemstad. I repeat this for all legal authorities so that they know exactly who is involved in this particular situation. The tug Husky from Willemstad, owned by a Meneer Herman, along with his launch, the Viking, which is registered in Panama, also owned by Mr. Herman. Radio North Sea International, located on the boat Mevo 2, has been involved in a legal case with Mr. Case Mendez, as many of our readers in Holland know. And now Mr. Mendez, because he has lost his appeal, has now resorted to the position of cutting the anchor chain on the Mevo 2 and in an attempt to tow us interland.
Time now at 20 minutes to 4 o'clock. This is an account of what exactly happened this afternoon. At approximately 25 minutes to 2 this afternoon, the tug Husky from Willemstad was sighted from the ship, from our ship Mebo. Also the launch Viking, which is registered in Panama. We'll give you details of the ships in just a few moments. At a certain Case Manders, owner of nightclubs in Amsterdam, came aboard to talk about taking over the ship. Now, it appears that Case Manders had some sort of business agreement with us at some time, but it was never signed, and he was never in actual fact a director of this company, and he now feels that he wishes to take the ship away from us. In our own way, we are prepared, but we do need some help, so please stand by in case there's any way in which you can help us. It's a quarter to four, quarter for fear. This is Radio North Sea International, the voice of Europe, the sound of the world, on the air 24 hours daily. Radio North Sea International broadcasts from the radio ship Mebo 2, anchored in international waters at latitude 52 degrees, 10 minutes, 12 seconds north. That's latitude 52 degrees, 10 minutes, 12 seconds north. Longitude 4 degrees, 13 minutes, 30 seconds east. Longitude 4 degrees, 13 minutes and 30 seconds east on the following frequencies. 217 meters at 220 meters in the medium wave band. That's 1367 kilocycles. VHF, channel 44, 100 megacycles. And in the shortwave 49 meter band, 6.2 megacycles. And to the world on 31 meters, 9.94 megacycles. Our postal address, post office box 113, 8047, Zurich, in Switzerland.
On June 14th, 1970, a new offshore radio station, Capital Radio, started transmissions.
At the beginning of the long tone, the time will be exactly 1200 hours. Twelve noon, and time for lunch with Capital Radio.
Ici Radio Capital.
Here is Capital Radio.
Here is Capital Radio.
Aquí, Radio Capital.
This is Capital Radio. Broadcasting on 1115 kilohertz, 270 meters on the medium wave band. This is Capital Radio, owned and operated by professional broadcasters dedicated to free radio, that is to say, radio free of government interference.
Gradually, Gradually, European governments have acted against offshore radio stations. Today, three radio stations broadcast from the sea to European listeners: Capital Radio, Radio North Sea International, and Radio Veronica. The future is important not only from the point of view of the music they provide. These stations stand for a principle, the principle of radio free of government control. I very much hope that you, the listener, will think about what these storm-lashed little ships on the North Sea really mean.